Welcome to another episode of Chaplain Chat from our Texas Parks and Wildlife Law Enforcement Division, Lead Chaplain Scott McIntosh. It is our continued hope that this audio series helps to entertain and inform you as you patrol across this great state. Now let's hear from Chaplain McIntosh.
Well, I hope this finds all of you doing well. If you'll remember last month, we talked about relationships, and I'd kind of like to add on to that for this month because relationships are so important. But what I want to talk about is staying connected in a relationship with that significant person in your life. Okay, so let's be honest. Staying connected to that person can be as or more difficult for a law enforcement couple as it can be for a military couple when one of them's out on deployment. The major difference is that for law enforcement, they can have a lot to deal with in disconnection more often for days and days during deployment. And then they have late night call outs, and then they have weekends away working and unexpected non-presence at children's or spouses or partners' events. These are not unknowns when the job begins, but they can multiply and expand and pile up on each other as the years go by and the emotional distance can grow. Knowing it will happen and experiencing these happenings for years are not the same thing. If the couple isn't careful, this can be the thorns among the roses of the relationship, to the point that all they can see and feel when they see the rose plant are the thorns. And believe me, thorns hurt. Let's take this simple case study, for example. Okay, as the game warden life continues, you invite Tom and Maria, another game warden couple, over for dinner every now and then. On one occasion, you include Chris and Jane, another game warden couple, who are now in your county. As the game wardens sit around before dinner, it doesn't take long for the conversation to drift into work stories. Now, Tom admits that he and Maria are trying to be sensitive to each other's needs as they do their life together, but it isn't easy. And then Chris admits, our struggle is with communication. Jane saw this first, and she brought it to my attention, and we realized we have issues, but we weren't talking, and there was some bitterness over it. Our lack of forgiveness led us to being more and more isolated from each other. It wasn't pretty, and it didn't get any better every time I came home. So what can a law enforcement couple do to look past those thorns and back to the rose that brought the couple together in the first place? That's what we need to talk about in these days when the world spins so much faster all the time. Of course, communication is primary. Now, just about 4 months ago, we addressed communication in general, but this month, I want to talk directly to you as law enforcement couples. If you're not in a relationship like this at this time, well, go ahead and listen anyway, because the chances are that you will be sometime in the future. You see, all relationships need a hero. Yeah, there can be and should be two heroes, but there needs to be at least one who recognizes the need and the loss and sacrifices themselves on the throne of healing communication. And let that be you. I heard a story not too long ago that kind of represents miscommunication without our even knowing it's happening. There was this Minneapolis couple who decided to go to Florida to thaw out during a particularly icy winter. They planned to stay at the same hotel where they spent their honeymoon 20 years earlier. Because of hectic schedules, though, it was difficult to coordinate their travel schedules. So the husband left Minnesota and he flew to Florida on Thursday with his wife flying down the following day. So the husband checks into the hotel, and there was a computer in his room. So he decided to send an email to his wife. However, he accidentally left out one letter in her email address. Have you ever done that? And without realizing his error, he sent the email. Now, meanwhile, somewhere in Houston, a widow had just returned home from her husband's funeral. He was a minister who was called home to glory following a heart attack. And the widow decided to check her email, expecting lots of messages from relatives and friends. And after reading the first message, she screamed and she fainted. And the widow's son rushed into the room, found his mother on the floor, and saw the computer screen that read, "To my loving wife. Subject, I've arrived. Date, September 16th. I know you're surprised to hear from me," it read. "They have computers here now, and you're allowed to send emails to your loved ones. I've just arrived and have been checked in. I see that everything has been prepared for your arrival tomorrow. Looking forward to seeing you then. Hope your journey is as uneventful as mine. P.S. It sure is freaking hot down here." Now, it's been said that a commitment to an intimate relationship is a commitment to communication. Because of the work of a game warden, staying connected is even more important and more of a challenge. A couple has to be creative and intentional and willing to share at the heart level. That means more than, "Hey, what show do you want to watch tonight?" Or, "Did you call the plumber today about that leak in the bathroom?" It means sharing hard or intimate or heartfelt situational conversations. James writes in James 1:19 that everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Now, there's three communication skills in this one verse. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to be angry. In reality, our natural tendency is often to respond with the opposite approach. We're slow to listen, quick to speak, and quick to become angry. Now, don't do this either. Don't be the game warden who feels henpecked about not being there all the time and goes to a counselor who advises him or her to assert themselves. The counselor says, "You don't have to let your partner bully you. Go home and show them that you're the boss." So the game warden decides to take the counselor's advice, and he goes home, he slams the door, he shook his fist in the partner's face and growled, "From now on, you're taking orders from me. I want my supper right now. And when you get it on the table, you go upstairs and lay out my clothes. Tonight, I'm going out with my friends, and you're going to like it and stay at home where you belong. And one more thing, when I'm dressed, you know who's going to tie my bow tie?" "I certainly do," the partner said. "The Undertaker." Well, communication is a lot like tennis. One person begins the conversation by making a statement and then perhaps asking a question. It's like serving the ball. And the other person returns the ball by responding to the statement, and so the game continues. Like tennis, good communication takes practice. This includes conversation. If all you can contribute is cliches or facts, then you're really not sharing very deeply. Couples who can talk about what they think and they feel without becoming defensive are threatened by rejection. These are couples who can weather a tough situation together. The purpose of communication in a relationship is to stay connected, not to tear the other person apart. Barriers to communication will only produce isolation on both people's parts. Now, here's some positive communication ideas when one is gone a lot. How about phone calls? Yeah, we all talk on the phone a lot. Emails, texts, working through maybe a spiritual devotional together, reading a book together and then discussing it, giving small gifts or flowers, notes inside the luggage. My wife has always done this. When I go on a trip somewhere, especially when we lived in Europe, she would put these little notes in my luggage for me to find, or letters marked out for each day. Read this on this day. Read this on this day. It made a whole difference in my travels to have that kind of a connection with my wife. How about pictures of each other out in the open so others can see them? And hey, how about praying together? Even resolving conflict requires loving confrontation. Now, it's important to remember these kinds of tactics when something needs to be resolved. Focus on one issue at a time, not many issues. Second, focus on the problem, not the person. Third, focus on the behavior, not the character of the person. Fourth, focus on specifics, not generalities. Don't fly all over the place. Next, focus on I statements, not you statements. Those are accusatory. Next, focus on observations. What did you see? Not motives. Don't try to interpret for the other person. And then finally, focus on mutual understanding, not who's winning and who's losing. Remember, you became a couple because you wanted to be together, not apart. Good relational skills are there to help you become closer and stronger, more independent because you trust the other, and more dependent because you trust the other. I hope this has helped and has given you some ideas about how to have a better relationship with that significant person in your life. If you need help, go get help. There are pastors, there are rabbis, there's imams, there's counselors, and yeah, there's chaplains always out there for a reason. Use them if you need to. It's okay. And please know that you are honored and you are prayed for every day. The Lord bless you.
To reach Chaplain McIntosh, you can contact him by phone or text at 512-839-9214 or by email at scott.mcintosh@tpwd.texas.gov. Thank you for listening. We hope you join us next time for an all-new episode of Chaplain Chat. The land that we live.